message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. As followers of Jesus, it should be our desire to please God, right? It should be our desire to please God, and it starts with faith. It doesn't say that faith automatically pleases God, but it does say that without faith, you're not going to please God no matter what else you do. You have to have faith. It doesn't say that without faith, it's difficult to please God. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God, which means with faith, you're on the right track to pleasing God. And so when we have faith, the mission is possible. Title of the message is Faith Makes the Mission Possible. Now I want to go down to back up to Hebrews 10, verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him, has no pleasure. In other words, not pleased, pleasure and pleased. If anybody draws back, my soul is not pleased in him. So if you desire to please God, you have to live by faith. So I want to talk a little bit about what is faith. Because I think we've got some mixed ideas in the body of Christ. And I want you to understand this morning, when I'm talking about faith, I am not talking about the faith that has been abused. I'm not talking about hyper faith. I'm not talking about if you'll send me $100, by the end of the week, you'll get tenfold or maybe 100-fold back if you have enough faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the kind of faith that says maybe you would have got healed if you'd have just had more faith. Not talking about that. Your friend died, and maybe they wouldn't have if you'd have had more faith. Church, I know of a situation where something along that lines was said to someone going through the greatest battle of their life. We're not talking about that. If you had more faith, you'd have more money. If you had more faith, you'd be healed. You wouldn't be sick. Listen, we should pray in faith. We should walk in faith. We should live by faith. But what is faith? Because, you know, sometimes when people hear things like that, if you really had faith, you'd get healed. And then they don't get healed, so they're sick. So they conclude that they don't have faith. And then they read Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, since I don't have faith, I'm not pleasing God. Woe is me. Church, that's a misuse and an abuse of the issue of faith. Hebrews 11, 1, still in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is where we could go a little extreme with this and say, yeah, that's right. So the things that I'm hoping for, with enough faith, I can get what I'm hoping for. With enough faith, I can get the things that I don't see and that I'm believing God for. Listen, I'm not throwing that idea completely out the window. But how about this? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And what is our great hope? The return of Jesus. The evidence of things not seen. Who is it that we love that we don't see? Can I tell you that faith in its simplest form is just a belief in God? So don't go extreme and conclude that, well, I don't have faith. I'm not pleasing God because I don't have much money. And if I had more faith, I'd have more money. If I had more faith, I'd be healed. If I had more faith, another translation of Hebrews 11:1 says it this way. Faith is a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. I have a conviction that God is real. I don't just say that because I think maybe he could. No, I have a conviction that's more than opinion. I have a conviction that God is real. Faith is a conviction of the reality of things that we don't see. Faith deals with the unseen reality. So to live by faith is to live with the unseen reality in mind. To live by faith is to be aware regularly of an unseen reality. How many of you, when it's not Sunday, and the preacher's not up, or the worship leader's not up, it's just Monday in the middle of the day, and you're God conscious? Yeah. Do you know a lot of people are not God conscious at all until they are in a church service? Faith is a conviction of an unseen reality. To live by faith, to walk in faith, is to live and walk in a way that you're conscious of the unseen reality. It's a God consciousness. Now, I want to go back to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, but let's look at the rest of it. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe, two things, must believe that He exists. This is what faith is. Faith, number one, is believing that God exists. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Can I just get you to stop? And He is a what? A rewarder. Can we just use the word giver? God is a rewarder. God is a giver. God wants to do. A reward is a good thing, right? If you get a reward, you're getting a good thing, right? We're not talking gag gifts here. We're talking about real rewards. So God is a rewarder. God is a giver. God gives back. So faith is, number one, believing that God exists, but number two, believing that God is good. Faith says God is good. A rewarder is one who is good. God's not out to take things from you. God's out to reward. God's out to give. God's out to bless. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life and life more abundantly. So God is a giver. God is good. The devil is a taker. The devil is bad, right? So faith is a conviction of two things, that God is real, but also that He is good. It's not that God is real and He's just a mean old God. That's not faith. Faith says God is and that He is good. So faith is more than believing in God. It also involves what you believe about God. Faith says God is, and God is good. Now, Luke 18:8, kind of just building some foundation now. As I was putting this together, Luke 18:8 just popped in my mind. I didn't know exactly where it was. I had to go look for it, but I knew the essence of what it was saying. It's the verse that says, when Jesus comes back, will He find faith on earth? What does that tell you? Just that question all by itself suggests to me that faith is going to be challenged. It tells me that faith is something that is fragile and that you could lose, that you could let go of. The very question suggests challenges that are strong enough to possibly take the place of faith and to remove faith. 1 Timothy, Paul said this, there are those who have suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Somebody faced a challenge and it got the best of them and their faith was shipwrecked. Do you know anybody that would fall in that category? And then later, Paul says this, in later times, there will be those who abandon the faith and they follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So some are going to suffer and their faith is going to be shipwrecked. Some are going to be led astray by false doctrine and they're going to abandon their faith. So there's two things right there. Faith can be shipwrecked, and I believe that's mainly because of stuff we go through. We face trials, we face tribulations, and then we face suffering, and as a result, our faith is shipwrecked, because faith says God is and God is good. And sometimes when we suffer, there's a tendency to go, where are you? I thought you were good. So your faith can be shipwrecked because of what you go through. But there are also those that abandon their faith because of doctrine, false doctrine, taught by deceiving spirits, it says here. So the question again, will Jesus find faith when He comes back to the earth? Let's just start with you? What if Jesus comes back to the earth and he's looking for faith and he goes to your house first? Is he going to find faith with you? Is he going to have to move on and go, not there? And I'm not meaning this in a condemning way at all. I'm wanting you to just check your faith level. And again, not the abuse of faith, not hyper faith. Faith, two things. There's a third, I'll give it to you a little bit, but two things. Faith believes in God. That's not enough, though. The devils believe in God, right? Faith believes in God, believes he exists, but also believes that he is good. He's a rewarder. He's a giver. So God is, and God is good. God is real, and God is for me. God is good. Is your faith still intact? The faith that says, I believe in God, and he is good. Can you say that this morning? And this is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer, because there may be some of you here right now that are going through something right now and that your faith is challenged. Listen, Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith. Your faith will be challenged. Your belief in God and the fact that he is good will be challenged. You will go through some things that will make you look up and go, I don't know if you're there or not. Or if you are there, I'm having trouble believing that you're for me. Because if you can do anything, how come this? I'm telling you that things will come our way that will challenge our faith. So when Jesus comes back, or when you go to see him, will he find faith in your heart? In other words, no matter what we go through, can we come out of it without shipwreck, without abandoning our faith? Can we come out of it with our faith still intact? And again, I'm talking about the faith that says God is and God is good. I'm talking about the faith that says, I'm not ashamed. And I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me until that day. That kind of faith. Do we have that? When Paul said this, that I am not ashamed, I know who I'm believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed him to that day, he said that in regard to suffering. Paul had, how many of y'all know Paul went through a lot of suffering? Paul was beat. Paul was whipped. Paul was put in jail. I mean, Paul was left for dead on more than one occasion. And Paul said that I'm not ashamed. I know who I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able. I have fought the good fight of faith, and there remains a crown for me. In other words, I hung in there, and I believe that God is, and God is good, even though a lot of bad things happened. In other words, God, this isn't good, but I still believe you're good. That's faith. That's a conviction of the unseen reality. See, Paul suffered. His faith didn't deliver him from his suffering. In fact, it was his faith that was the cause for much of his suffering. Think that through a little bit. Because there is an element out there that says if you have enough faith, you can pull out of this. You may suffer, but your faith will pull you out of that. Paul's faith did not pull him out of his suffering. Paul's faith put him in the middle of some of his suffering. It was his belief in God that got him in trouble at times, preaching the gospel. I'm tempted to call some of you out, but I won't do that. I don't mean call you out in a bad way. I mean in a good way, because I know some of your stories, and I know some of your battles. And even though you've gone through a battle, and even though you've suffered, you're here this morning. Even though you've gone through some stuff, during worship, your hands went up this morning. You were singing to the Lord this morning, even though you've gone through some things that would cause some people to question God's reality, but you have a conviction that God is real. And so even though you're going through stuff that you don't get, stuff that's painful, stuff that you didn't pray for, and you've asked God to remove it, but yet it's still there, you've come here with a conviction that God is still there and that God is still good, and you've lifted your hands. I want to call you out in that sense, because I know some of your stories, and I know what you faced, and it's like, I just want to say, well done. That's what faith is. It's not getting around all the potholes and having a smooth, perfect journey down the road. No, faith is hitting a lot of the potholes and still making it to your destination intact. Some of you have gone through some relationship issues, divorce issues, things with your children, maybe job loss, financial issues. And we could just go down the list of some of the most horrible things to have to face and have to deal with. And you prayed about it. You put it on the connection card. We prayed with you. You prayed for you. We anointed you with oil, but yet you stayed sick. And yet that one passed on, and yet you didn't get the job. It didn't get answered the way you thought it would get answered. Faith, some people will say, well, you don't have enough faith. That's why it didn't happen. And I'll say, you have good faith because you're still here in spite of all of that. That's faith. Hanging on and believing that God is and that God is good no matter of the bad that I face. Some of you in the middle of a battle right now, the enemy would whisper to you that there is no God, or that if he is there, he's not good. At least he's not good to you. And that's why all this is going down on you. He doesn't care about you, and he doesn't care about the stuff that you face. The enemy will tell you things just like that. The enemy will tell you stuff, and if you really had faith, you wouldn't be depressed right now. If you had real faith in God, the God who made everything, the God of abundant joy and abundant life, how can you sit there and call yourself a believer? You're facing anxiety and depression. You ain't got no faith. You don't believe in God. And I'm telling you, the fact that you come and worship God and hang on to God in the middle of your anxiety, in the middle of your depression, says, I do have faith. I still declare that God is real, and I still declare that God is good, in spite of what I'm going through. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. We have to have that kind of faith. The faith that says God is and God is good. I'm not talking about the kind of faith that causes everything to work out. I'm talking about the kind of faith that hangs in there when things don't work out. I'm not talking about a faith that fixes everything, but a faith that remains when all is broken. Not a faith that turns your bad into good, but a faith that in spite of the bad believes that God is still good. God is, and God is good. That's what Hebrews 11:6 is telling us, or Hebrews 11:1. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. We believe that God is real, and we believe that God is good. Now, there's a third thing, and we won't make it all the way through this one, and that was on purpose. We're going to go through part of this one. We'll complete it next week. But there is a third thing about faith I want to bring up. Number one, faith believes that God is real. Number two, faith believes that God is good. And number three, faith has an expression of some sort. It has an expression. It has a demonstration. There is something that happens as a result of your faith. What it is, it can vary from one person to the next, but faith without any kind of action is dead. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead. Another translation says faith without action is dead. In other words, if it's a real faith, it'll have an action that accompanies it. Now, some people mess this up and they think, well, I have faith, but I don't have any works, so I'm going to start doing some works to create the faith. Works don't create faith. Faith just results in works. So if there are no works, you don't need to get works. You need to get faith. Did y'all follow that? Faith results in works, and if you don't have the works, it doesn't mean do the works to result in faith. No, it means you don't have a real faith. Get that. The works will come. Faith has a demonstration. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith is an action word. See, saying God is real and saying God is good is one thing, but what is going on in your life right now that demonstrates that God is real and God is good? What's happening in your life that demonstrates those two things? I've already listed some of it. The fact that you're going through what you're going through and you show up to church and worship and raise your hands anyway, that's a demonstration, that's an expression of your faith. It's easy to say, I have faith, but when you show up and worship God in the middle of your stuff, that's a demonstration of faith. Faith in God can be demonstrated in more than one way. Back to Hebrews 11:1, it said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But verse 2 said this, by faith, the elders, another translation says the ancients, those that are gone, by faith, our elders, our ancients, obtained a good testimony. Or, translations say this, they gained approval. They were commended. So in other words, by faith, those that have lived before us and gone on and are with the Lord now, by faith, they were approved. Remember, you can't please God without faith, but with their faith and because of their faith, they had approval. That's all. You just need faith in God. But faith says God is, and faith says God is real, and faith has a demonstration. See, that's verse 2. By faith, the elders gained approval. They were commended. But then when you read the verse, the rest of verse 11, some of you know this, but chapter 11, well, let's back up. In Corinthians, chapter 13 is known as what? The love chapter. In Hebrews, chapter 11, it's known as the faith chapter. Some call it the hall of faith because the heroes of faith are listed in chapter 11. And so what I want to do is I want to look at a few of these because it was by faith that they gained approval. And we're talking about faith makes the mission possible. We're talking about the importance of faith, not hyper faith, but real faith. Well, we want to make sure that we have that, right? Well, do you believe God is real? Yes. Do you believe that God is good? Yes. And listen, that's not a given just because you're in church. I know a lot of people that are coming to church in the middle of their battle and they're questioning God's goodness because of what they're facing. And I commend them for their faith because they're still coming and because they're worshiping. So you believe God is real? Yes. You believe God is good? Yes. The third thing, though, does your faith have a demonstration? Let's look at the demonstration of some of these in chapter 11. And it'll start, these different verses, they start by faith, someone did something. There was an action. Faith is an action word. By faith, someone did something. Faith without doing something is dead. Faith has to have action. Faith has to have a demonstration, an expression. So by faith, somebody did something. What are some of the things that prove or demonstrate our faith? Our worship, our prayer, we've talked about that. Your devotion time, your giving. Giving is an expression and demonstration of your faith. When you give to a cause, like we've presented to you and we'll present again next week, when you give, that's a demonstration of your faith. So I've got seven. We're going to look at three. We're going to save the other four next week. We may just look at two and save five for next week. We'll see. Five different individuals in chapter 11 of Hebrews. I'm going to give you the verse. I'm going to give you their demonstration, what they did to demonstrate their faith. And then I'm going to give you like a little take-home point to go with it. And I want to start with verse 5. If you remember, it was verse 6 that said, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. Back up one verse, and we find the story of Enoch. It starts out with, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that a great testimony? Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God, and he so pleased God that God wanted him with him, I guess, and took him. I can't explain all of that, but it says here, by faith, Enoch was taken away. God took him. And it was because he had the testimony that he pleased God. So here's the demonstration that Enoch gives us. Enoch shows us that faith is living in constant connection with God. Even when you can't sense or feel or hear God, you still stay in constant connection with God. Faith says that according to Enoch's life. So here's the take-home point for this one. The purpose of your relationship with God is 24/7 and not just heaven. That's the purpose of your relationship. It's not just so you can escape the fires of hell. No, the purpose of your relationship is not later, it's right now. Genesis 5, verse 24 says this, Enoch was known as a man who walked with God. Again, we're talking about constant connection here. Constant connection includes the tough times. Constant connection includes the dry times, the challenging times. Whether the bills are paid or they're not paid. You're connected with God constantly regardless of the situation, right? See, there's a tendency to forget God in times of plenty. And there's a tendency to blame God in times of trial. But Enoch shows us that in times of plenty, we don't forget him. And in times of trial, we don't blame him. We hang on to him, constant connection, and we declare that he is and that he is good no matter what happens. See, God wants a relationship with you. He saved you for more than just going to heaven. He created you. I love that song by the DC Talk guy. I forgot his name. Toby Mac, thank you. God created you to love you and to be loved by you. God created you for relationship. God created you for communion. Some of you, I mean, it's fresh for you, and some of you, you'll have to go back in your memory banks. But remember that baby, your son, your daughter? And what did you do? You just held them. You just looked at them. You stared at them. Why? You just wanted to be with them. That's all you wanted. Now later they get older, they need to go get a job. I get it. But the purpose of that relationship is, yeah, train them in the way they should go, but all the while you're having a relationship with them. That's what you want, right? Relationship. I remember when Michaela, you know, we have four, but the firstborn, we settled down a little bit on some things. But for the first one, we lived in an 80-foot mobile home. Our bedroom was on one end of the trailer, and the other bedroom was on the other end, you know, about 60 feet between us. That's the firstborn. Well, we didn't want to put her in the room. We did for a little while, but we didn't want that to become the habit. So we put her in her own room. So what I did, I got my video camera and tripod, and I set it up in the room, and I run some cable underneath, and I hooked it up to the TV, and we'd lay in bed and put it on channel 3. What are you watching? Michaela, what's she doing? Sleeping. Oh, look, she moved. What am I doing? Man, I'm just enjoying my kid. And as she gets older, there's different seasons, and we enjoy her now at 26 years of age. And relationship. It's all about relationship. And God saved you to have relationship with you. He created you to have relationship with you, not just so you could go to heaven. It's 24/7. That's what He wants. He didn't create you to live for yourself in rebellion and then at the end turn to Him so He could snatch you up to heaven. Now, that's wonderful. If you're sitting there going, well, He can do that. The thief on the cross, thief on the cross. Yeah, I got it. I know the thief on the cross. But that's not ideal, is it? I mean, if your kid backslides and becomes the prodigal son and for 30 years goes and wanders and does their own thing and they come in their latter years and they say, Mom, I'm sorry. That's good. But that's not ideal. That's not what you wanted, is it? Didn't you want to have relationship the whole time? That's what God wants. So Enoch shows us that faith is living in constant connection with God. Our relationship is meant to be 24/7, not just heaven. Now I'm going to back up one more verse. Verse 4, our second one. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And every one of these individuals, the verse starts out, by faith, somebody did something. There's got to be an action with your faith. What was Abel's? Abel offered a sacrifice. Abel shows us that faith is giving our first and our best to God. Because a lot of people struggle with, what about Cain? He gave something. Abel got applauded, and Cain got rebuked. Led to some sibling problems, right? Well, if you read that closely, you find out that Abel brought forth his first. Cain, it doesn't say that about Cain. So you have to read into it a little bit, but it suggests that Cain didn't bring his first, didn't bring his best, but Abel did. Abel teaches that faith is about giving our first and our best to God. So here's the point for this one. God knows zirconia when He sees it. God knows zirconia when He sees it. God knows fake, not the real deal. Zirconia is a diamond substitute. It's not the best. It's a cheap imitation. God knows if you're holding back. Faith is giving our best and our first to God. God knows if you're holding back. Y'all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts? Remember? They held back a little bit. Do you remember the punishment for that? They were struck dead and drug out of the room. Listen, God knows if we're not giving our best. I'm not suggesting God's going to start knocking some of you out and dragging you out of here before your pulled pork sandwich. But I'm just telling you, that some of us get lazy with our service to God. We should serve and minister as unto the Lord. Your student may not know it, but teacher, if you're not preparing yourself for your class, you're not giving your best, you're holding back, you're just winging it, God knows. That's not faith. Faith is giving your best as unto the Lord. Your boss may not be able to tell that you're holding back. Those under your ministry may not be able to tell that you're holding back. But God knows if you're holding back. He's worthy of your best. We're not talking about perfection here, but we all are talking about excellence. There's a difference between perfection and excellence. And we should do things well as unto the Lord, right? So God knows if you're holding back. This includes worship team. I'll just take a moment. Worship team, we love you. Glad that you're here. But our worship leaders send out the list for a reason, to learn and not to wing it, to do well, to give all to the ministry that God has entrusted us with. I remember Paul telling Timothy this. He said, I have magnified my ministry. What ministry has God given you? Magnify it. Make it big. Make it important. Put value in it. Magnify it. Give it your best. Don't just wing it and treat it as, oh, I'll do whatever I can do and get by and help you out if you need some help. No, do it all or do it not at all, right? Give it your best. This is what faith is according to Abel. One more, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Noah shows us that faith is making preparations as though Christ is coming back today, even though there may be no signs or no evidence to that. Which, by the way, there are signs and evidence to that nowadays, isn't there? The return of the Lord. Noah shows us that faith is preparation for the return of the Lord, but even if he's not coming back forever. In other words, we're living in such a way as if Jesus would come today. So there's preparations that we can make. Here's your statement for this one. Don't wait for rain to start building an ark. If God speaks something to your heart, act on that. You know what God spoke to Noah's heart? Not that it's going to rain. It's going to flood. And some say it never rained up until then. The water, the earth was watered from the ground. I don't know that that can be proven. Maybe so. It was still a little bit way out there, though, to build a boat of the size that Noah built. Just a little bit extreme. A little bit of ridicule is coming his way. It was an invitation to all of that because of what he's doing. But yet he did it. How many of y'all know when the clouds rolled in and it started to rain, the ridicule stopped? But how many of you also know that if Noah hadn't have done anything and he said, I'll just keep my hammer here on my nightstand and when it starts sprinkling, I'll get out there and quickly build a boat? No. Faith is doing what God has told you to do. It's preparation. It's whether you see signs of it, whether it makes sense to you, whether you understand it or not, God has spoken, so carry on with that. I got in my notes here, there are those who want to accomplish certain things before they give their life to God. I've heard that. Well, I'm going to do this and this. I'm going to do college. I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to come. And when I have kids, I'm sure I'm going to want them in church. And then I'm going to bring them to church. And I'm going to come back then. Is that really what God wants? Why not give your life to God and let God help you accomplish the things that he has for you? Basically, what you're saying is you're going to wait for the rain. And then you're going to come to the Lord. I had a friend of mine, still a friend, we just haven't seen each other in many years. He lives in Florida. And he was the one, if you've heard my testimony, some of you have, he was the one that was sitting by the wall. He got really touched by the Lord before I did, and the track had slid under the door. This will mean nothing to some of you, but for those of you who remember my story, you'll know. And he got up to see who was at the door, and he opened the door, and nobody was there. And he said, there's no way that they got down the stairs that fast. Yeah, he was on the second floor. So he believes it was an angel. I don't know. Maybe so. He straightened up for about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks. After that, I'd gotten saved. He was the first one that I called to talk to him about. And we caught up on some things there. And then he tried to tempt me to go back into the dark world because that's where he'd gone back to. I overcame. He told me this. He says, I know enough about the end times that when I start seeing certain things happen, I'll know enough not to take the mark of the beast. That's what he told me. Y'all know the mark of the beast, right? 666, the number of his name. Those that receive it shall not buy or sell. And there's a whole lot of speculation and teaching and conspiracy, and there's also truth on that. And everybody's, you know, got their different ideas. But this is what he was saying. When I see certain things start taking place, then I'll know it's time to get right with God. Translation, until then, I'm going to live for me. But I'll keep my eyes out and I'll watch the weather. And when it starts to rain, I'll make my way to the ark. That's not faith. Faith involves preparation beforehand. Yeah, but that'll work, won't it? Just in case you're sitting there thinking, I like that. Will that work, Pastor? I don't know. Well, the thief on the cross, here we go with him again. Yeah, the thief on the cross, last minute, called out to the Lord. But what if you're calling out to the Lord in your last minute and it's from your head and it's not from your heart? Will it work? I'm not saying it won't. I don't know, because the Bible also talks about a window of opportunity, and you ought to go through there while the window's open. And the Bible also talks about giving space to repent. And once that space is over, you can seek God with tears of repentance and not find repentance. Can you imagine somebody coming to this altar and weeping and crying? We'd all go, praise God, they got it. Maybe they got it. Or maybe they're desperate for God and God has already closed the door for them. I'm not telling you it won't work. I'm just not telling you it will. I'm telling you that if God has made himself real to you, the best thing you can do is grab hold of that right now. This attitude, I'm just going to wait until I see certain things, and then I'll get serious about it. God calls you today. Today is the day of salvation, and the Bible says, don't harden your heart in that moment. Preparation makes the difference, and it's an expression of faith. The unseen reality for Noah, remember, faith involves the unseen reality. The unseen reality for Noah was that there was a flood that was coming. Nobody could tell. You couldn't look, didn't have your iPhone and your weather app. That thing ain't right anyway. The only thing that Noah knew is God told me this, and I'm going to act on that. And so faith was a demonstration for Noah's part. He was acting in light of the unseen reality that was on the way. He was building a boat that would survive the unseen reality. Church, I don't know exactly how things will play out in America, but there is an unseen reality. And the reality is that it will play out one day. Regardless of who wins the election, it may affect the timing of things, but I'm telling you, there will be a day that Jesus comes back, or there will be a day that you go to be with him. That is the unseen reality. You will stand before God. I remember John Maxwell saying this many years ago at one of the conferences I've been to. He said, champions aren't made in the ring. They're only recognized in the ring. Church, it's the same thing with us. Preparation. When you get up in the morning and you read your Bible, whenever you spend time in prayer, whenever you're in worship, whenever you, all that is preparation. You don't wait until the day of the fight and run to the ring and hope it works out. You don't wait until it starts raining and run to the ark and hope it works out. Prepare your heart now for the Lord Jesus. Amen? By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abel. And by faith, Noah. By faith, someone did something. Faith is three things. It's knowing that God is real, it's knowing that God is good, and then it's using your life to do something to demonstrate those two truths. By faith, Mike Hammonds does what? By faith, put your name in the blank. What is your demonstration of faith? Well, I came to church today. That counts. What else? What is God asking of you? Faith makes the mission possible. You're going to get through this because of your faith. But if you're struggling in faith right now, you're doubting God's goodness. You doubt God's existence. I pray for you right now in Jesus' name. I'm praying for you. If that is you, would you just receive this prayer as I pray it? Let faith invade your heart. I assure you, God is real. I assure you that God is good. I don't have all the answers to all the questions you might have. But I've anchored it in my heart that God is there and God is good. I can't explain things, but I need to know that. God is a rewarder. He's a giver. He's a blesser. God is for you. Faith doesn't remove your problems. It gets you through them. If you're here today, you're struggling in faith, I lift you up in Jesus' name. Father, I lift up everyone here, everyone watching that is struggling in this area of faith, struggling, believing in you, struggling, believing that if you are there, you're good, struggling with doing anything that would express that. Father, I lift them up in Jesus' name that you would invade their heart with your faith, faith in you. Church, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I pray today that as you've heard his word, that faith will be stirred in you. Let faith arise in Jesus' name. Father, let faith arise in each one of them. And Lord, I thank you that in our faith, it is the victory that overcomes and it makes the mission possible.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.